Today's scripture is from 1 John 3:11 to 24. 1 John 3:11 to 24. We'll be reading from the NIV. This is a message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This, then, is how we know we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence, whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Let's welcome up Pastor Wilson.
Good morning, everyone. I'm glad you are here to worship with us together in warmth and in safety. And this morning, the driving could be a little bit challenged because the roads are still covered with a thin layer of snow. But we give thanks for God because the seasons. There's seasons, that means there's changes in our lives. Sometimes changes that we desire. Sometimes the changes that we don't desire. But nevertheless, we know that God is behind all these, and he's the one who remains unchanged. So we can go through a lot of changes in our lives, knowing that we can rely and trust on the one who never changes. So this morning, I'd like to share with you. This is the second part of the book, the Epistle of John, first Epistle of John. Remember that we've been talking about this book for quite a few weeks now. And in a situation that John's church faced, challenges coming from outside of the church and challenge coming from within the church. And John proposed a twofold answer. The first part of the answer is starting from chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we hear and we transmitted to you, which is God is light, and in him there's no darkness. Now today we are in chapter 3, verses 11 to 24. This is the beginning of the second part of the answer, the twofold answer, the second part, which is God is love, therefore we love each other. And 2 weeks ago, the message was talking about the confidence of God's children. We, as God's children, where is our confidence coming from? Our confidence actually is coming from Jesus Christ, who died for us on the cross, that he called us because of his work. We've been called children of God. And that children of God, that identity, was not rooted in any action, merit, or anything in our lives. But rather, it was rooted and deeply rooted and the foundation was in God's unilateral decision to love sinners like us. And that unilateral decision from God consists the security base for you and me. Because everything in our life are changing. If you have a job, you work in the corporate world, you know things changes every day. Company changes, culture changes. Almost nothing is not changing. But the unilateral decision of God to love you and me never change, because He's the God who never change. And that is the good news for us. That is the foundation of our identity, and that is the foundation of our confidence as God's children. And based on that confidence, John urged us, encouraged us to love each other. Because to love each other is we express God's DNA in your life, in my life. If God is love and we belong to Him, we've been called His children, then the very nature of our life would demonstrate that love, would demonstrate that particular trend in our lives. On the internet, I found a quote about love. What is love? And I put it on this. Oh, I'm sorry, the font changes. It turns to smaller. Let me read it to you. This is what I found a quote about love. What is love? It is silence when your words were hurt. When your words were hurt. It is patience when your neighbors hurt. It is deftness when the scandal flows. It is thoughtfulness for another's woes. It is promptness whose stern duty calls. It is courage when misfortune falls. Now this is a quote. If you search the internet, what is love? You probably find a lot of quote. But my question is, all these things, silence, patience, deafness, promptness, courage, when the situation calls for otherwise reaction, my question is that enough? Is that enough? I recall years ago, I was serving in the church in some leadership position. And when I was serving in the church, I was trying to build a team to work together on a project. But the problem is I lack of the professional background of that team. It called for a certain professional background in order to understand the merit of different proposals. But I was not trained nor educated in that field. So to me, it's all similar. The proposal come to me and I look at it, I can't tell which one is better. So therefore, I rely on the fact that I want to choose someone who is a team player. And when I did make that decision, I was criticized left and right. I was criticized being given favor to someone that maybe is more favorable in my eyes. I was criticized for not being fair. I was criticized for leading the professional by my non-professional background. All sort of criticism. And I lost my patience. I lost my excitement. And most important of all, I lost the joy of serving. Under severe criticism, under all these small talk behind my back, I lost the joy of serving. And when I think of this quote, I have to ask that question, is that enough? When the situation arises so severely challenged my patience, my love, everything, do I still have anything inside of my life that I can do these things? Silence, patience, deafness, thoughtfulness, promptness, and courage. My answer was, no. I didn't have anything. I didn't have anything inside me. As a matter of fact, my very, very basic excitement and joy of serving God was all gone. Now, I don't know whether you encounter a similar situation like mine. Maybe you are in the middle of such a situation. Maybe in your memory, you remember that. And maybe some of us, maybe the very fact that today you're sitting on the fence was because in the past, you experienced something like that. The question comes back to us. All these quotes are good quotes, but is that enough? Is that enough? Today in this scripture, notice that in verse 11, that John put it in a very peculiar way. He said, this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. What kind of message coming from the beginning, and what is the beginning? What did he refer to? When John used the word from the beginning, it's just like in the Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 1. From the beginning, which is echoing back to Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. He was referring to God, the very nature of God. God is the one, he is the only one from the beginning. So therefore he is saying that this is a message I heard from God from the beginning. We love one another. Why? Because God's very nature is love. God's nature is love. God is love. And that is the message. And that is the God that we are worshiping. That is the God that we put our trust and faith in. In other words, he is appealing to us. We love each other because that is God's nature. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, we can love each other in the church. We can love each other in your small group. We can love each other in any situation that you are in your family. But I propose to you, and this is also a challenge to me and to all of you, where is the foundation of your love toward your brothers and sisters? It has to be coming from God. In other words, if you don't love God, your love to your brothers and sisters will exhaust one day. It will come to an end. And it will come to an end just like years ago when I was criticized and I found that my well was bone dry. There's nothing more I can squeeze out. Because that was my first experience that I found out that my love was not rooted in God. It's all coming from my position. It's all coming from my leadership position. It's all coming from my role. It's all coming from my own flesh. And I know that when I face challenge, when I've been criticized, when I've been treated unfairly, all these things were gone in no time. Our love for each other cannot go before our love for God Himself. Our love for each other cannot go before our love for God Himself. We have to love God first in order to love each other. We have to love God first in order to love each other. The vertical dimension is very, very crucial in God's church. That is why sometimes we see people cannot deal with conflict. Sometimes we see that when conflict arises, all these friendship and all these things will be gone in no time. And we will treat each other like enemies for months, for weeks, even for years. We try to avoid each other. And when we are in a situation like that, may I suggest that might be time for us to reflect. Where is my love coming from? Is my love coming from my own might and strength? Or my love is connected back to my vertical dimension, my relationship with God, my love to Him, and my understanding and experience of His love toward me? And only when we connected with the inexhaustible fountain, then we can have inexhaustible love for each other. And we can walk an extra mile for each other every time. Our love for each other, the horizontal part, cannot come before the vertical dimension, God's love toward us and our response to Him. So if you find out that your vertical dimension is at risk, your vertical dimension is in question, I urge you, go back to that dimension. Go back to that dimension, repent and pray to God and connect with Him on a regular basis. Allow yourself to be ministered by God's love first before you can minister God's love to each other. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. What is love? Love has to come from first the vertical dimension. is coming from above. What is love? Love is also, according to Apostle John, between verses 12 and 15, he set before us a negative example. The example of Cain in the Old Testament, to be more precisely, in chapter 4 of Genesis, the first murder case in human history. Now, in Genesis chapter 4, if you read it carefully, it did not give a reason nor any explanation why Cain and Abel, when they bring sacrifice before God, and God favor Abel's rather than Cain's. In Genesis 4, it did not give us an explanation. It just stated the fact, described it. So therefore, we know that the point is not whether God favored one's sacrifice and did not favor the other one. The point is, yes, we might be walking into a situation that is not favorable in our eyes. But the point is, how do we react to that situation? And Cain react in hatred. Cain react in hatred, put it in action, murder, killing. That is the point. And that is the most important thing. And personally, I think the Bible leave out the explanation, not explain why God favor one over the other. It's teaching us this lesson. Sometimes things might not go our way, might not go as you expected. But watch out for your reaction. And John put it very clearly here. He said, "Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother." And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. "Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. You know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brothers is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him." It's very severe, severe rebuke. John is basically saying that Cain's sacrifice was not favored by God, but he react in hatred. He react in hatred. Why? Because his very core is evil. The hatred took root in his heart and therefore produced action. The action is an outward expression of the inner nature of the person. So our action tells people and expose the very nature in our heart. If our action when we've been wronged by someone is to retaliate, to fight back, if he hurt me, I want to hurt him again, then my action tells me my very nature in my heart. And John urged us, watch out, because your action actually express the very nature of your being. And Cain respond to that situation with hatred and put in action to kill his brother. And John said, this kind of action, this kind of thought, this kind of nature is belong to this world. So that's why he said, you know, do not be surprised in verse 13, my brothers, if the world hates you. The world's reaction is an eye for an eye, a two for a two. You wrong me, I retaliate. But John here reminds us that other people's misbehavior cannot be a justification for our misbehavior. So in other words, even though we might be wronged by others, we cannot react in wrong behavior, because the behavior defines who we are. That very behavior belongs to the world and belongs to the devil. So love is the opposite way of this world. Love is not going the same way of this world. It's the opposite of this world. So next time when we encounter situation that we've been wrong, that your anger, your emotion being stirred up by someone's action or words. Take a deep breath. Wait a minute and ask yourself, what is my nature? And what is God's role in changing my nature? Therefore, how should I respond? So many times we react immediately. And that reaction, yes, it tells us what's in our heart. But Jesus came is to change our nature. Last time we talked about this, because we live in a time that is already but not yet. God's kingdom, God's Son, already been revealed in human history. God's kingdom has dawned on us, but His kingdom is not yet 100% fulfilled. And we live in a situation, we live in a time that we struggle between the two. On the one hand, we have a new life inside of us, the life coming from Jesus that will grow every day, and one day it will devolve our old self, our flesh, our old way. But that day has not come to completion yet. So we struggle. But nevertheless, John also reminded us that we live a healthy lifestyle. This is Christ in us. We've basically been made well. So sometimes we will catch a flu, sometimes we will catch a cold. But it doesn't change the fact that we are a healthy person. We have a healthy nature inside of us. But if we continue to live in sickness, continue to have flu every day, then there is something wrong. There is something wrong. So we live with Christ's new life inside of us growing every day, and we will be making more and more sensitive to our sinful actions and sinful deeds. And we will be very, very sensitive to that when we grow. And the sensitivity makes us feel uncomfortable. That is why it warns us and draws us back to Christ for forgiveness and for strength. John urges us not to do it this world's way. That is what is not. But furthermore, John wanted to define it in a positive way for us between verse 16 and 24, which is, love is to emulate, to imitate Christ. Verse 16 on, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our own lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongues, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commands us. Those who obey His command live in Him, and He in Him, in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. In this long passage, John basically is saying one idea. That idea is to imitate Christ, to emulate Christ. And how do we emulate Christ? And why should we emulate Christ? Because Christ put His idea into action. So what is love? Love is not just talk. Love is sacrificial. Love is tangible. Love is consistent. Love is sacrificial. Jesus laid down His life for us. Therefore, He gave us a model, an example, that when we love each other, the kind of love is sacrificial. What does sacrificial mean? That means you have to give up your rights. To a certain extent, you have to give up some of your rights for others' sake. It will make you inconvenient. It will challenge you. It will make you uncomfortable. I remember a couple of years ago, I went to seminary and I read a book in a pastoral class. The book is Call to Love. I'm sorry, the book is called Call to Crisis. And when I ordered the book online, when the book arrived, I opened the package, I look at the book, the dust cover has this design. The design is, there's a table lamp, and I can see that table lamp is on, and is on a nightstand next to the bed. And then next to the nightstand, the table lamp, is a telephone, and the picture is the telephone is ringing. Telephone ringing in the middle of night, probably very early in the morning. Call to crisis. When a group of pastors get together to talk about this book, we all laugh at the cover. We look at each other, we laugh at it because we all know we've been there. We experienced that. In the middle of night, perhaps maybe a night like last night, outside is frigid temperature, and your phone rings. Someone in the hospital. And you have to pick up the phone. You have to go there. Love is sacrificial. Love is sacrificial. Sometimes it will cause turmoil in your heart because it poses so much inconvenience in your life. I'd like to share with you one of my experiences. Early on when I came back to this church as a pastor, I remember that was the first year before I was ordained. And I remember when I graduated from seminary, I made this prayer to God. I said, God, I know serving you sometimes could be hard and challenging. Would you please show up with your grace in a way that I can understand, that I can experience when my well is dry? That was one of the prayers when I graduated from seminary. Little did I know that the first year I've been facing that kind of challenge. I remember that was a Sunday afternoon, summer. Beautiful sunshine. After a day serving in the church in Sunday, I got home in a summer evening. I set up a chair in my backyard, get a drink, got a book, go out there, pop up my feet, get ready to enjoy the evening, thinking I deserve this evening to be quiet and to be enjoyable. Before I open the book, the phone rang. I pick up the phone. It's someone calling saying that my father is dying in the hospital. Would you please come and visit? And by the way, my father has not been accepted Christ yet. When I hung up the phone, there was a big storm in my heart. I said, God, perfect timing. You know how to mess up my Sunday afternoon. I tell you, this is very ugly inside of me. I said, God, why did he want to die in such a time? Now you laugh at it. I was very shameful of my thought. Why did he want to die in such an inconvenient time? And I tell you, I react with my role as a pastor. I have to go. Nothing. Judy can testify that. I was going reluctantly. Very, very reluctant. I was very angry with God when I was driving to the hospital. When I walked into the ICU, I didn't know how to face myself, nor did I know how to face the person who lay on a sick bed. But you know what? When I walked into the room, I saw all these tubes and equipment hooking on this old gentleman. And he was semi-conscious. I was standing there, I looking at him. Well prepared to perform my duty by suppressing the kind of ugly feeling in my heart. When I stand next to the bed at that moment, I literally experience something rushing down from above on me. Not the pipe book, but I felt something rushing down on me. And I felt that. And in a split second, my heart filled with compassion. And at that time, I was humble. I knew it is not coming from me. by the very sinful own nature of my person, I have nothing come up. And I knew this is from God. And I've been reminded that prayer when I graduate. God did show up. And you know what? In 5 minutes, I led that old gentleman to Christ. I baptized him. That evening, he passed away. It was a humbling experience for me. Love is very, very inconvenient. But the good news is, even in the middle of the convenience, even sometimes we react because of our duty, because of our role. God is mercy. And He will give us enough resource to deal with that. And therefore we know this is the message you heard from the beginning. It's not coming from you. It's not coming from me. It's coming from Him. Today, this morning, we will install a group of brothers and sisters among us. This group of brothers and sisters, if you are in their small group, you know they've gone through severe struggle. You know that from time to time, they experience inconvenience. And you know from time to time, maybe some of you, that being called up to the pub, to the front, that you react in certain situations because you are the group leader. It doesn't matter. What counts is God is love. And He is in you. Therefore, He empower you. He enable you with the enough resource that you can carry out His love toward each other. Love is sacrificial. Love is tangible. It's always in these moments. That is concrete actions. Very tangible way to express that. And it's consistent because it's not just by saying we love each other. We act it out. We carry it out in our actions. Day in, day out, week in, week out. They worry about the content of the meeting. They worry about who's going to lead worship. They worry about who's going to lead Bible study. Can I cultivate more co-workers? Can I enable more people to serve the Lord and deal with crisis situations? Someone is sick. Someone is in the hospital. Someone needs to pray for. Someone lost his job. And all these things. They carry out a consistent picture. Small group ministry, loving ministry, is not ministry that, you know, I see a grand vision and I've been excited because we're moving to that direction. No, it's not like that kind of thing. It's not like a company that give you a grand picture. Love is day in, day out. Love is what God's kingdom is about. It's everyday action. It's easy for us to lose the big picture in that. But when we do that bit by bit, small action after small action, to tender the love of God to each other, we are building God's presence among us. These group of people, they get their hands dirty. And may I encourage you that if you have not tried to minister with your small group leader, try it this year. Get your hands dirty. Roll up your sleeve and work with them together. Because in God's kingdom, there's no bystander. In God's kingdom, there's no one sitting on the fence. God called each one of us into the loving business, to love each other. Love is very challenging. But love is the foundation. Therefore, when we put our word into action, we know that in our heart that God's love is in us. That is why John said our heart will not condemn us when we put those into actions. Again, this is not a legalistic requirement. It is we love each other and put it in action because we have God's DNA in our lives. Just like my son looks like me, walks like me, speaks like me, because he carries my DNA. is built in his nature. So does us. Each one of us, we've been born again through Christ. We bore God's DNA in our lives. And therefore, we will express it in action. I know in church, particularly in our church, the situation sometimes is not ideal. And our very nature is tend to be, when things are not ideal, we have our own opinion, we criticize. And sometimes we allow ourselves to slip into a cynical situation. But that is not God's will. God's will is, yes, this world is not perfect. But I want to call a group of people that we will trust him and follow him and obey him in actions, to continue to love each other, to build up each other, to encourage each other. And that very, very motivation is coming from our love for God, because we understand his love. I love you all, but I have to say this. I have to love Christ more than you in order to love you. Otherwise, I will not have enough in my resource, in my will, to continue to serve God. So this morning, may I encourage you. First, the utmost importance is reconnect back to that vertical relationship. You have to love Christ first before you can love each other. And when you love Christ, when you confess and make the decision you want to love God as the most important person in your life, then when you love each other, God will use that situation to in turn cultivate your love toward him. It's not a dichotomy. It works together. But you cannot throw away the vertical dimension. If you throw away the vertical dimension, your small group life, your Christian life will become a club, a country club. You can eat, you can play games, you can go out together, have fun, but you cannot love each other in conflict.